Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, guys? It's Evan with Lee and Keys and Evan Real Talk episode. I'm not sure, but no, we are very excited to be here today on this nice Wednesday to bring you guys another episode. We had a bunch to talk about, so very excited to get that going. Is anyone in the call yet? Lee, Keys?
Yo, I'm here.
How we doing?
How we doing? What's up, bro? How you doing? I'm good.
Good. Hanging in there. Very excited to talk about the upcoming card this weekend. It's a big one. It's a personal one for you. So, very excited.
Yeah. Massachusetts' own Calvin Kattar. The first time I heard about this guy was in my barber shop a couple of years ago. And my barber was cutting my hair, and he was like, you know, I'm friends with one of the UFC fighters because he knows I like UFC. And he was like, his name's Calvin Kattar. And I didn't even know who that was. Like, I had heard of it. I knew who it was, but I couldn't pinpoint. It rang a bell, but I was like, it wasn't somebody I watched. And then when I saw him, I want to say when I saw him fight at UFC 220, then I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure he got a win at UFC 220, which was live in Boston. So that was when I was like, okay. So then he was on my radar then. And then, you know, he picked up a couple more wins after that, and I was already watching him from that point. But anywho, I mean, he's fighting the number one featherweight in the world, Max Holloway, champ, obviously. So that's huge. That's absolutely massive for the city. And I feel like it's massive for the city. And at the same time, it's kind of sad because at the same time, like, my mom said this to me the other day, and she was like, I was telling her about how that was, and I was like, yeah, like, you know, guy from Boston fighting the number one in the world, and she was like, how come that's not on the news? Like, how come I didn't know about that? And I was like, you know what? That's a great point. I was like, that's a great point because you don't hear about that kind of thing. And if it was, you know, obviously it's going to be on ESPN. Obviously it's on ESPN. ESPN is news, but why isn't it on, like, local news? You know what I mean? And I feel like it should be. And the fact that it's – I feel like UFC is big enough to where it should be. And that just puts in a question. I don't know why people – why you don't hear about that unless you're a core fan. You just don't hear about it. But, yeah, I mean, it's huge for the city.
I agree. I think this is the perfect fight to ring in the new year. And honestly, looking at the main card, it's actually a pretty good card. But, you know, before we get into it, just want to make sure everyone's here. Lee, you here yet?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
Yo.
Are we good?
All right, boys. What do you think? Do we change it up a bit? Do we change it up a bit? You tell me.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I just finished watching that interview with Dana White. I'm actually watching Word to the Wise, Poirier versus Justin Gaethje dropped on YouTube. I think it was like just now. I mean, I just saw it, so to me it was just now. But they dropped Poirier versus Gaethje as another free fight. I feel like this is like the fourth or fifth free fight they've dropped for the Poirier-McGregor fight. I think they usually drop like one free fight from each fighter, but they're just dropping tons of free fights, and I think this is excellent because both of these guys just so happen to put on some of the best fights. So it's great for all of us. So I was just watching Poirier and Gaethje, and before I was watching that, I watched Dana White's interview, and he said he's working on a fight at 155 for Nate Diaz. So I don't know. It's just life.
I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Nate, because Nate is in an interesting position. He's not in the top 10. He might be in the top 15. Well, he's 0-2 in his last two fights. I know that on our group chat, you guys were saying something about Did Dana actually say it's a fight to get him closer to get him in a title picture? Did he actually say that?
No, he didn't say that. Dana said that first he said, I'm working on a fight for Nate Diaz, and he said, the interview was like, oh, at welterweight? And he was like, no, it's actually at 155. And then he was like, the interviewer was kind of like trying to throw out some fit. Like he was trying to like ask about the fight. And he was like, I think it's a fight that the fans will like. I think it's a fight that you guys will like. He was like, I will say this. Like it's a fight that if Nate wins, it'll put him in a really good position. That's what he said.
All right. So that being said, we know it's at 155. So we know Chandler and Hooker got dates. We know Connor and Dustin had dates. We think Gaethje and Oliveira have dates. And I think one of you guys said Felder turned it down. Who else could it be?
Someone asked Felder and he said no.
I'm going to pull up the rankings right now, but I don't really think there's anybody else. I mean, the only thing that's kind of left out with that is, kind of like what Evan was saying earlier, I don't think Nate is going to fight, like, a guy lower than, like, probably number six. Like, I really don't think he's going to fight anybody lower than that. I mean, I don't really know what rank Pettis was when he fought Pettis at welterweight, because I want to say Pettis wasn't a top five ranked guy at welterweight, but I think the difference with that was
Pettis has a name.
Pettis is a name. Yeah, exactly. And Pettis is also a guy that I think Nate always wanted to fight. I think that was a fight that they kind of didn't like each other as it was, and those two guys already wanted to fight. Plus, they're both names. So I think that's why that was that.
So I just named off the top six. Only name that's left is Ferguson. Ferguson is left. He already fought RDA. Is Kevin Lee the guy? But he hurt though.
You know what, Kevin Lee? I didn't even think about that. Kevin Lee and Diaz actually. I feel like that's a fight too that. I feel like Diaz would take that fight. I think he would take that fight with Kevin Lee. Because Kevin Lee is actually he's kind of got a name for himself too. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he's as big of a name as these other guys, but I wouldn't say Kevin Lee is not a name.
Yeah, Kevin Lee is a name, but isn't he like rehabbing an injury or something? I think he got, he messed up his knee or something happened where I think he's nursing an injury or something. But if I had to guess, me personally, I wouldn't mind saying Ferguson and Diaz. Both of them on what? I can't say Tony really on a losing streak, but I would rather see Tony and Nate. But I think it's gonna be somebody else, man. And it might be Kevin Lee. I don't think it's RDA though. But I wouldn't mind seeing Diego Ferreira.
Yeah, Diego Ferreira is really – I haven't even heard about rumors about him fighting, which is weird because he had that one fight with Pettis, about this time last year. He won the fight. He really didn't take much damage in the fight, and then he just disappeared. Like, I haven't even heard rumors of him having a fight, which is really strange because he looked good. I want to see him fight.
What do you think, Evan? You think
Diaz would fight Iaquinta?
I think he'll fight anybody in the top 10.
Okay. Well, that opens up the picture a little bit. You got like three or four fights right here, in that case.
Yeah. Because what is it? Ferguson, Iaquinta, Ferreira, and Felder. Yeah, we can eliminate Felder though, because he's saying no.
What? I like the Kevin Lee idea. He is nursing an injury. I think he had, to get surgery on both of his legs. I forget what happened. But The Kevin Lee idea makes sense. You know, rankings in the UFC are trash. They mean absolutely nothing. That's why Hamza Chimaev is fighting the third-ranked welterweight in the main event. So let's just get that out of the way. What does interest me, though, is why is Dana White so like adamant on letting us know that it's not Tony Ferguson? You know, I just it just seems weird to cancel that out immediately. Like, I guess it makes sense. You don't want to get the fans hype up for that fight, I guess, but just something, just a look between the lines kind of thing or whatever you want to say.
Just looking at the history, most of the times when Dana is adamant about saying that a certain fight has not been made, it usually has. Many times when, like, reporters say, you know, we heard about this fight, and he says, no, I don't know anything about that fight. You know, a lot of times that fight is in the works, and he just didn't plan for it to be revealed yet. We've seen that happen many times. But at the same time, in that interview that I was watching, the reporter actually straight up asked, you know, once he mentioned Diaz, I think the reporter might have even brought it up first, actually. I don't even think Dana White was talking about Diaz. I think it spawned from the reporter's question, because he just randomly asked, can we get Tony Ferguson versus Nate Diaz? And that was what sparked the talk.
I'm gonna go with a percentage. I'm gonna say it's 50% Ferguson and 50% everybody else.
What we were talking about in the group chat, Keys, you actually brought it up because you were saying how, you know, they sidelined Charles Oliveira for Nate and Gaethje, which I like that idea. And just the way Dana White, like, kind of explained it in the interview, I feel like that one makes a lot of sense. Obviously it doesn't really make much sense for Gaethje, considering he's the number one, number one fighter. But then again, you know, if you want to give him the Nate Diaz fight where he just, you know, gets that big win against, you know, the big name, and then he gets that one win that he needs to be right back in title contention, being that he is the number one ranked lightweight, you know, you save yourself from Charles Oliveira, who's on a hot streak and just dominated Tony Ferguson. But then that begs the question, where does that leave Charles Oliveira, to where I obviously say that he should fight the winner of Connor and Dustin?
But the whole thing is why would Justin do that? He has everything to lose, nothing to gain. Because if he loses to Nate, basically he falls back in line. And then if Nate wins, they have everything to gain.
You're right.
Oliveira. But him fighting Oliveira, at least he's fighting a top three, top four guy?
Number three.
Yeah, so if he fight Oliveira and beat him, there's no denying him a title shot or, you know, in our quote-unquote mini tournament, he'll get the winner of Dustin versus Connor. So I think Justin, if he take that fight, it's going to be because of the money, but he has everything to lose.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. The fight really doesn't make any sense based off rankings and based off, you know, bettering yourself for another title shot. It's really just about money and just, you know, getting that recognition. But everyone knows Justin Gaethje. They've seen him fight. But I just wonder if, you know, the UFC kind of wants to protect Charles, you know, and just keep him ready for, like, maybe they're just going to push him into the title fight. Because, like, you know, Dana White came out and said that that no matter what, Conor versus Dustin is not going to be for the title, no matter if Khabib says he's going to fight again or if he's not going to fight again. That fight's not getting the title booked in it. So that tells me that some two people are fighting for that vacant belt at some point. And I'm wondering if with Charles being won over Tony, that they might just, you know, put him in line. You know, they put him right there against that winner, which I think is a perfect opportunity for, you know, could you imagine a Conor versus Charles Oliveira fight?
That would be a good fight. But my only reservation would be with Charles Oliveira is we know his past against big names. Tony Ferguson is the first big name on his record that he beat. Do I want him to prove to me that he could beat another one before? I want to say yes. I want to make sure him beating Ferguson wasn't a fluke.
And if you look at it, like, just, I feel like I haven't really been doing too much to show Oliveira love lately, but I think there has to be, I got to play, Lee usually plays the objective role, so I'm playing the objective role here, okay? So just to look at it, just to look at what's concrete, if you really look at it, he's on an 8-fight win streak, but when you really look at the guys he fought,
exactly.
Six out of eight of those guys is like, man, really? Like, if you put those six guys, now I will say this, right? And I have so much confidence. I would actually, Evan, it's funny we talk about bets. I would bet $500 that these six guys, and we're not going to talk about Kevin Lee and Ferguson. Okay, two elite 155ers. I give them that. He beat those guys. That's good. But these six guys, Jared Gordon, Nick Lentz, Tamer, Miller, Glegos and Clay Guida, put those six guys, have McGregor or Poirier fight those guys, and they're going 6-0 versus those guys too. They'll both be on a 6-fight win streak. So I don't really think that's that crazy. I don't really think so. I mean, it's cool, but I think there's better win streaks out there. I mean, Max Holloway's win streak, better than that. Ferguson's win streak, probably better than that. I mean, more elite fighters. I mean, when you really look at it, it's decent, but it's like those are not like high level fighters. Those are pretty low level names. I mean, really, Nick Lentz is who he fought. It's just kind of like I feel like they were just giving him anybody. And
that's why,
and it's like he only really fought two good guys.
Exactly, and that's why I want to see him against one more named guy. Was it a flash in the pan? Or has he really come around to being able to compete with the top guys? So I'm not with the – I don't understand why Dana White would say we're going to corner or shelf or, you know, whatever his terminology was with Oliveira. I don't understand why he would say that when we as UFC and MMA fans, we can look at his record and tell – how he's fared against top names, and
but,
then look at him against
but,
just guys.
Bro,
Just for the sake of
our show, like Dana White didn't say that though. Like I said that. No, I'm just
saying,
to have no confusion, so it don't look like we're saying that because he didn't say I said that. I used that. I said sideline.
Okay.
That's a common word. That, but I said, I think
I
they
got
could,
you.
They might sideline Oliveira. Dana White didn't say it. He didn't even. I don't even think he mentioned Oliveira.
I got you. So I think what we all want is we getting Dustin and Connor. We getting Chandler and Hooker. Hopefully we get Oliveira and Gaethje, and then let the chips fall where they may after that.
You're saying do Gaethje and Oliveira and to let the chips fall after that?
Yep.
So you're on board with that fight?
Yeah, I'm on board with Gaethje and Oliveira.
Well,
Nate Diaz. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I'm on board with that fight too, because I think that's not because it's the best situation for Gaethje. I feel like that fight also doesn't really do much for Gaethje, because I feel like Gaethje is kind of in a bad spot. Like, if you're Gaethje, like, I feel like, honestly, if I was Gaethje right now, I'd probably sit out for a little while. I wouldn't even take a fight. I would just let Oliveira, like, fight whoever he's going to fight and then see how that plays out. You know what I mean? If he loses, then okay, you don't have to fight, you know, this high-level submission guy. You know what I mean? And then he's out of there. You feel me? Because Gaethje is, like, he just came off a title fight. Like, I don't think he really wants to – he doesn't need to assert himself into the picture. There's really no rush because the divisions – we're waiting on two fights next weekend, you know, to sort themselves out. And I feel like, you know, and we're also waiting on Khabib's decision, you know, pending that meeting. So I feel like it's going to take, you know, the month of January to figure out anything. And mm-hmm. probably even the month of February, too, because I bet you that meeting isn't going to happen too soon. It's probably going to – or we won't hear anything from it until probably sometime in February. So if I'm Gaethje, I'm probably just going to sit – I'm probably just going to sit out and just let a couple of these fights play out and just see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, see who wins the main event next weekend, the co-main event. You know, let Oliveira take a fight. See how he, you know, see what plays out with that, and just kind of sit there for a minute. Because if you're coming out of a title fight, I mean, he lost, you're still right there. Like, he's still the number one guy.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a need to jump right into the picture. Just let these fights play out. That's what I would do. If I'm Gaethje, I like the fight, but if I'm Gaethje, I wouldn't take the fight. I would just sit back.
Because you know what, Keys and Noel remind me of? When Frankie took that fight against Brian Ortega, all he had to do was wait and he would have got his shot. And then he ended up losing and he had to fight like 2-3 more fights just to get his shot. So, yeah, I totally agree.
That's a fact.
Should just wait.
That's a fact. I hadn't even, you just reminded me about that. But that's such a fact because I remember when that happened, I'm pretty sure Frankie was supposed to fight for the belt in that
yep.
fight. And then when Holloway got sick or whatever it was, and he Ortega, you know, they offered him to fight Ortega, and then Frankie should have just stepped back and been like, wait a minute, hold on. I was like, I'm not just going to fight this guy, you know, who comes out off a win off Cub Swanson. I'm not just going to fight this guy. I was supposed to fight for the title. So I'm going to wait, and I'm going to fight for the title. Let Ortega, you know, fight one of these other dudes in the main event. You know, I'm sure there was other guys that could have fought Ortega or just let, you know, put the co-main up as the main event and just forget it. You know, let the event go, whatever. You know what I mean? Let Cyborg in there. I think Cyborg might have been on that card or something. Put Cyborg in there. You know, I'm pretty sure Cyborg was on that card. I'm pretty sure that was like the co-main event or something. You didn't even need to I think that got moved down. I don't even think that was the main event. You know what I mean? I think Cyborg was because that was a bigger title fight at the time, because they were going to have Cyborg as the co-main event, and then once you lost the featherweight champion, they moved Cyborg up to the main event, and then they were like, okay, well, we still have Frankie might be able to fight somebody. So he should have just been like, okay, I lost the title fight. Not only that, I lost the main event. So let me just fall back, okay, because you guys don't need me. You have Cyborg who's going to fight. You have a title fight. It's all good. I'm going to fight Holloway in a month or two and then not get punked. And then look what happened. He got punked.
Yeah, that's why I say – If on Gaethje, I sit back and wait. There's no need for him to fight. I mean, unless he wants to fight for the spirit of competition. But outside of that, there's no need for him to fight. Maybe we're looking at – maybe Nate is going to get Oliveira. We never thought about that.
No, we really haven't. And, like –
of who
kind of makes you wonder?
You
he said Oliveira, and
who's gonna get
weird,
Nate's gonna get Oliveira?
Nate,
maybe.
Yeah. which is
that could happen.
It's so out of the dark, like out of the blue, that it could happen. You know, they could, you know, sell us on that jiu-jitsu fight because this is such a hard conversation to even have. Like, telling us that Nate was going to come back at 55 has just caused such speculation, but there's not enough options at 55 that make sense for the way Dana was explaining the fight. Like, in the interview, I'm almost positive, like, or in a tweet that I saw, that it says that he will, like, if he wins this fight, it'll put him in a great position. So it's like, it's got to be someone, one, with respectable name recognition or some sort of, you know,
and in the top five. And
two, in the top ranking. Like, it has to be someone in the top five. But if you, and we just did this, the top five is Justin, Dustin, Oliveira, Connor, and Tony. Dustin and Connor are busy. Charles and Justin are free. Tony's not fighting. So, realistically, it's got to be Charles or Justin. Which one makes most sense? Personally, I do like bringing that up, Lee. I like that you said Charles. Personally, I don't think Charles will take that fight, being that the fact that his manager believes that he should be pushed right into the title fight. So I don't think he will risk that opportunity, being that he's right there for, like, the first time in his career. Or maybe he actually might have been closer back then. I'm not sure. So that personally leaves Justin Gaethje. But again, we've talked to lose for Justin Gaethje. There's really no win there. Fighting the unranked Nate Diaz, you know. So please, what do we think?
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I you know what? Guess what we doing, y'all? We talking about it. That's what Dana want. He want people to talk about it. And guess what we doing? We're talking about it. That's all. I guarantee you, when he was sitting there doing the interview, even if he was lying, he wanted people to talk about it. And guess what we're doing? We're sitting up here talking about it. People on Twitter talking about it. So, hey, he got what he wanted out of it.
He did. He got us. He made us talk. And here we are, as you said. But, let's put this one to bed for now. It's a great topic.
Yep.
We're going to have to continue talking about it for the next few shows because it's obviously the hottest topic today as they just brought it up. But I guess, you know, another one, like a quick topic I'd like to talk about, you know, Keys kind of brought it up slightly. He just mentioned the co-main event for next week's pay-per-view, which is Dan Hooker versus Michael Chandler. And I kind of want you guys' opinions because I kind of feel like we haven't talked about that fight since it's finally been made. Like, I don't think we really broke it down and talked about it, like, thoroughly. So I kind of wonder your thoughts, you know, early predictions, you know, who does this benefit more with a win? Obviously, Chandler needs that win, but then again, it's also Dan Hooker. It's not Tony Ferguson. So, you know, how are we feeling?
Lee, you want to go first?
I'm going to go back to something you said, Evan, when we brought the fight up. The UFC basically gave him somebody they think he can beat. Why would they do that? Because I think the UFC has some kind of under-the-table deal with him that if he wins his first fight, that he will be in the title picture. Now, it's been widely reported that the UFC offered Chandler Ferguson. Ferguson wanted Chandler. Chandler turned it down. Why would Chandler turn it down? Because that's a hard fight. That's a hard fight. Now, I'm not a fan of Dan Hooker's. I think Dan Hooker talks a good game, but I don't think he fights a good game. I think Hooker, everything in me tells me that he's going to shock the world. I don't know why I feel that way, It's probably because of my disdain for him so much. I think he's going to shock the world. I think he's going to beat Michael Chandler. A lot of guys that come from Bellator don't fare well in their first fights in the UFC. And I don't know how Hooker is going to do it. I think he's going to be game. It's only a 3-round fight. We'll see what happens.
So
I know I shot both of y'all, huh?
Yeah, you definitely took me by surprise. So you said you don't know how Hooker does it. If you had to pick a way, what would you say? He knocks him out?
I'll say unanimous decision.
So now this is what I think. So when you look at it, I sent this to you guys the other day. I watched a video of Michael Chandler. Like, he had every – I don't know if it was everybody in the top 10 or the top 15, but he had all the names on the board, and he pretty much went through – it was almost like an interview, and he went through how he matched up, how he felt he matched up with each guy. He literally explained each guy in, like, such detail to where I was like, wow, I feel like this guy has been watching tape for, like, 6 months straight. Like, on the UFC lightweight division. Like, you know, maybe he knew about the deal, like, you know, a good amount before, you know, he was going into his last fight with Bellator, and he just started watching tape because this guy had very, like, articulate responses to, like, every matchup. But in, you know, Dan Hooker, I feel like, and when he brought that one up, I feel like it seemed like he knew something about it. Like, you know, he said, you know, I think I match up really well with this guy, da-da-da, and it seemed like he kind of already had him figured out, you know, for one reason or another. And, you know, I think Dan Hooker, I mean, I also watched Dan Hooker's fight with Poirier this past weekend or last weekend with a couple of my friends. You know, I actually watched it twice. I watched it, you know, the whole 25 minutes because it was the first time I'd ever seen it. I watched the whole 25 minutes. First of all, I'll say that was one of the best UFC fights I've ever seen. So that's first of all, I'll just say that. And two is I watched it the second time with a couple of my friends. I was like, yo, guys, you need to watch this fight. This is crazy. Like, that's the type of fight you show somebody, like, to get them into the UFC. You're like, yo, you like the UFC? You're going to watch this. You're going to watch Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier. So, and now what I saw in that fight is that Dan Hooker is a sloppy striker. He's a sloppy striker, and Poirier – pretty much controlled that entire fight. I want to say Poirier controlled the fight for all 5 rounds. And he was basically, it was him walking Dan Hooker down pretty much the entire time. I mean, even when Dan Hooker was throwing more, you know, he had moments of higher volume and it looked like, okay, he's throwing a lot more, like he's going crazy. A lot of his stuff wasn't landing. A lot of it was just swinging wildly and recklessly. I feel like Dan Hooker does not throw with, like, you know, he definitely has technique, but he doesn't always throw with that much in mind. I feel like a lot of his shots are just, you know, especially once he gets tired, like in that third round, like I feel like, you know, it's round 3, 4, 5. You know, he's lucky this is a 3-round fight. I'll say that. He's lucky that he's getting Chandler for 3 rounds, because if this was 5 rounds, I think I'd give him much less of a chance. While I do give him a chance, I still think he loses to Chandler. I think Chandler is going to have coming with better cardio than him. I think Hooker is going to expect to get him out of there in the first 2 rounds. I think Chandler is going to look to take him down. He's going to put his weight on him. He's going to tire him out, make him get up. And if he does keep getting up from the takedowns, he's going to be worn down more and more every time. And Chandler is going to start piecing him up. He's going to have more precise boxing. And I think Chandler's going to put him away. I think third round TKO for Chandler. That's my early prediction.
Let me add one more thing before you go, Evan. I was listening to Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith, and he was talking about Chandler. He said Chandler, after the first round, if he doesn't get you out in the first round, he starts to think. he starts to think a lot in the octagon. If he does that, I could see him losing to Hooker. Because Hooker will frustrate you because of, like Key said, he doesn't have a style that's super exciting, but he has a style that's like a gnat where you sitting outside on your front porch, you just keep waving it away, slapping it away. That's Dan Hooker.
I agree. I get what you're saying. Very happy with those responses for that fight. You know, I was just thinking about it as Keith brought it up as we were talking about the Diaz fight and just how we kind of really broke it down. But, I would like to I kind of would like just to keep it going and talk about, you know.
Hold up. You got to give us your take on Chandler and Hooker.
Oh, terrible host. All right. Personally, I'm going Chandler. I'm taking Michael Chandler. I think this fight has to be, like, his everything. This is his title fight. This is his Conor fight. This is his debut in the UFC. Everyone is dogging on him. They're not happy with him not taking the Tony fight. They're not happy with him being the backup. They're not happy that he's from Bellator. This is his fight. He's got to win this fight. Stylistically, obviously, it's a tough fight. You know, Dan Hooker is no slouch. He took Dustin to the ringer for like 3-4 rounds till he gassed. And this being a 3-round fight, I don't see that happening. So, the reach and style, you know, of Dan Hooker, you know, where he's going to kind of kick out the legs early on. You got to watch out for those knees. Michael Chandler being a wrestler, you know, with a wrestling base is worrisome, because he likes to fake those takedowns and then rush in with a 1-2, and you don't want to rush in against Dan Hooker because he might land that knee. But I do think just the overall, you know, the power that Michael Chandler possesses in his hands, I do think it's very underrated. I don't think a lot of people kind of, you know, realize it. You know, how good this guy really is. He trains with Usman, or actually, I don't know if he still does. He might be training with Gilbert Burns now. But he comes from a great camp. He's an incredible fighter, and I just can't wait for the fight. I'm taking Michael Chandler, and I think he knocks out Dan Hooker. I want to say second round knockout.
Okay. Well, we're super early on this prediction. So we're super early on this prediction, so you know we can change our answers when we get closer to the card.
This is the unofficial transcript right here. This is the unofficial pick. So what we got to get into though is the official picks for this weekend's card.
Okay.
Mm. All right. So, I'm not going to lie to you, boys. The prelims of this upcoming card are very weak, and I mean that in the most respectful way. They're very weak, so we are just going to go to the main card.
Evan, 1 second. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to point this out that I still have Charles Oliveira's Sherdog profile, you know, fight history up on my screen, and I just realized that he has fought Nick Lentz 3 times.
Really?
Why, really? Why did this man have a trilogy with Nick Lentz? Man, don't nobody want to see them, bro. He fought him 3 times. The first time was at UFC Live 4. Which is a long time ago. That was literally 10 years ago. That was a no contest. Then he rematched him at UFC 67, Fight Night 67, and he won third round submission. And then they fought again in a trilogy. They fought in 2019, and he won by second round TKO. Man, why the hell did they do a trilogy with these two guys?
I do not know.
That,
man,
that is,
who asked
that
to
is
see
a question
that fight?
We don't have the answers for.
Who, man, asked to see that trilogy?
Not us, I can tell you that much.
Man,
I
I'm
mean,
so done.
It was
okay.
Cool with me. Charles whooped him both times, all the time. But anyway, you know, moving on. So, it, you know, I would like to actually break down four of the fights on this upcoming card this weekend. So the first one on the main card that I want to talk about is obviously Mr. Highlight Reel. Joaquin Buckley returns to take on Alessio Chirio, whatever his name is. You know,
Chirico.
True middleweight, you know, contender. You know, he's fought, you know, some respected talent. You know, he fought Eric Spicely. He fought Julian Marquez, Kevin Holland, Zach Cummings. He's coming off a little... Honestly, it's kind of pathetic to me that this fight is even being booked because the guy's on a three-fight losing streak, and he's getting the highlight reel, which I think is just terrible matchmaking because it's just blatantly obvious what they're trying to do. We all know they want Buckley to win, and I personally think Buckley will win. I think Buckley's going to get the knockout because Chirico is just... You know, I don't even know what kind of style fighter you want to, you know, say he is. You know, he's got 5 knockouts, 4 submissions, and 3 decisions. He's never been knocked out, though. But in his last fight, he did get dropped last minute. And he was luckily got up, which does not count it as a knockout. I think he's getting knocked out. I think Joaquin Buckley's getting the knockout. First or second round, what do you guys think?
Well, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. DiChirico, they have him listed as a striker. I don't really know anything about him. I've never seen him fight. But I do know about Joaquin Buckley. I do know Kevin Holland put him to sleep. I'm going to go with Buckley. He wins in the first round knockout. Short and sweet.
Okay.
Keys probably don't know you the guy do it.
What?
Keys, you don't know DiChirico, do you?
I know him a little bit. I just looked him up.
Just like me.
Yeah, I don't know this guy. I recognize his name when I saw him, but I don't think I've ever watched this guy or paid attention to him. But, yeah, I had to look him up. So one thing I'll say about it is that him getting knocked out is, statistically doesn't seem likely. I mean, I know it is likely versus this guy, you know, versus Buckley. It's definitely likely he gets knocked out. But statistically, he's never been knocked out before, which is actually pretty crazy. He's had 17 fights. He's never been knocked out. He's actually only been finished one time. And he got finished by Eric Spicely, who is definitely not even. Yeah, that's kind of terrible. But one time, yeah, he got finished by Eric Spicely. That's pretty bad. But he tends to only lose by decision. Other than that, I'm gonna say Chirico.
Wait.
They fight. I'm going to say they fight to a decision, and Buckley wins, unanimous decision.
Okay. I thought you were going to say to a draw.
Nah, not this time. Saving that for next weekend.
Maybe. No, I mean.
I got a split draw coming for that card. I'm telling you.
I'm still waiting on Mr. Buckley's shine, on his star to stop shining, because it's only going to go so far. You know, his star is so – it's such a false shine. We all know, you know, Lee brings it up every time, and I love it, that he got smacked by Kevin Holland. And, yes, it was a short-notice fight. So I'm waiting for Buckley to just keep rising, keep getting better, keep getting fed these wins, and see Kevin Holland again and see what happens. Moving on, though, you know, just had to get that out there. We got a great what we call the co-main co-main, and that is the final, the freaking return of Santiago Ponzinibbio taking on Li Jingliang in a welterweight bout. This is an awesome fight. You know, Li is one of he's just one of the, you know, Chinese fighter, one of the biggest products coming out of, you know, Asia, and to really kind of promote the brand for them. So very excited for him to get this opportunity. And then we all know, we've all been waiting for Ponzinibbio. He's kind of like that dark horse at 170 whose injuries and some other rumors that I tend to believe have had me wondering. But with this fight, I think I'm going to take Ponzinibbio by decision. I think it's going to be a good fight, but I think Ponzinibbio is going to, you know, want to test the waters, kind of keep it safe, and just get that win. So I'm going to go Ponzinibbio by decision. What do you guys got?
I think Lee, his last fight was against Neil Magny. Neil Magny actually looked pretty good, so there's no shame in losing Neil Magny since he's been back. Ponzi been out a while. He been gone so long. I forgot what he even looked like inside the octagon. I'm gonna go with Lee by split decision.
I like it.
Well, I didn't know that Lee actually has a win over a guy that I really thought was going to be like a big prospect in the welterweight division and kind of never really rose to the way I thought he was going to. Zaleski Dos Santos, Alicio Zaleski Dos Santos, really thought he was going to be big in the welterweight division, and he never really rose up the way I thought he would. And I watched him. This was probably like a good 2 years ago. Maybe 2-3 years ago, that I was like, wow, that Zaleski Dos Santos is going to be a top guy at welterweight. He never really rose, but I still consider him a worthy win to have. And Lee has actually beat him. He actually TKO'd him in the third round, so I didn't know that those two guys had fought. Aside from that, I mean, the only like elite guy that he's fought in his division is Neil Magny, and he lost. And I know Neil Magny looked excellent in that fight. I know Lee pretty much got dominated by Neil Magny in that fight, if my memory serves me correct. So, but at the same time, I mean, Ponzinibbio is a very different fighter than Neil Magny. I don't think he's going to fight any kind of fight like Neil Magny fought him. So I think it's kind of different. But at the same time, Ponzinibbio's had a long layoff. I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio, though. I think Ponzinibbio is going to win. He's probably going to get this dude's terrible. I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio, though. Ponzinibbio is going to get a unanimous decision.
I like it. It's a good pick. Obviously, I agree with it. I love the fight. I'm so glad to see Ponzinibbio back. I swear, though, if he comes into the octagon, wins this fight in incredible fashion and tries to ask for a big fight, I may jump through the TV and hit him because I can't stand that stuff. But anyway, we have reached the co-main event of this wonderful main card, and that is Carlos Condit taking on the immortal Matt Brown. This is what you call a legends fight in a sense. And I don't like saying that, you know, Lee being a fan of the WWE, so he understands what I'm saying. You know, when they say legend in the WWE, you know, it's usually the, you know, the old guys, the vets. And in this sense, Carlos Condit and Matt Brown are clearly vets, have been done everything in the UFC and mixed martial arts altogether. Both of, I'm not sure if Matt Brown has actually fought for the title, but Carlos Condit has twice, former interim champion at that. So this is definitely a legends fight. I think it's an incredible fight. Just to get it out there real fast, I'm going Carlos Condit. I think we're going to just see an outright war. And honestly, I'm just going to go with the decision. I'm going to say decision. And the reason I'm saying that is because I watched Carlos Condit's interview, and he heard that Matt Brown said he was going to F him up. So then Carlos was like, well, I'm glad he's confident, but I'm going to F him up. And he's like, I'm going to finish Matt Brown. And I feel like when a fighter says that they're going to finish him, most of the time it never happens. So I'm going to be safe and just take Carlos at a decision. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Keith.
Okay, so just looking through, I mean, Matt Brown, I know, you know, I don't even remember the last time Matt Brown fought. I feel like I don't really watch this guy, but the last time I, like, he was on my radar is when he fought Cowboy back in 2016. That was the last time I really paid attention to his fight. I mean, and if you look at his last three fights, you'll see why I say that. But, you know, he got knocked out by Cerrone with a head kick. That was actually a pretty awesome finish. Pretty beautiful finish by Cerrone. Matt Brown, though, is a guy that gets finished a lot. I mean, he's been finished a lot in his career. He's been knocked out with head kicks. He's been TKO'd a bunch. He's been submitted, like, you know, more times than McGregor. It's very crazy. I mean, Matt Brown gets finished a lot. This is a guy who is, and I feel like the reason is because he's so, you know, he's such a warrior. He likes to get into those kinds of fights, you know, and he fights high level guys, but it's, you know, it comes back to haunt him, you know, and he loses when he's, you know, the fights he's supposed to win. So, I know, I think this one, though, Carlos Condit, I'm going to go with Carlos Condit. I think Condit's going to come in, and I believe in what he said in that interview. I think he is going to finish Matt Brown, and Matt Brown's going to, you know, look for a scrap here. And I think Carlos Condit is going to be a bit more sharp. He's going to come in, and I think he's going to TKO Matt Brown in the second round.
This fight is what, the battle of the wiry vets. I guess the loser can go ahead and call it a career, I guess. Carlos Condit used to be one of my favorite fighters, but then he got hurt, and then he just hasn't been the same since he got hurt and came back to the UFC. I kind of like this fight for him. I think stylistically, this is a guy that you will want to fight, that he feel confident about beating. Man, I'm looking at Carlos Condit's record, and boy, he has lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last 10 fights. Wow. But the names that he's lost to is George St. Pierre, Johnny Hendricks, Tyron Woodley, Robbie Lawler, Damian Maia, Neil Magny, Alex Oliveira, and Michael Chiesa. I'm going with Carlos Condit by unanimous decision. I don't think he finishes him. I think Matt Brown was standing there and be a warrior, but I see him losing to Carlos Condit by unanimous decision. And I wouldn't be surprised if this Matt Brown last fight in the USC.
All right, I agree. I'm glad. I think that's a trifecta for Carlos Condit, and I think it makes perfect sense. You know, Matt Brown just hitting the age of, 40 years old. I think he just hit 42. His birthday is January 10th, so he just left the 30 club. You know, Carlos Condit, not far away, you know, 36 years old, but still, and hasn't, as you just mentioned, Lee, hasn't had a lot of success in his last, you know, a lot of fights, but he didn't take a lot of damage in those. And like, you know, like the war against Robbie Lawler, yes. Damian Maia, he got submitted early. Neil Magny's decision, him, basically just wrestled him. He got choked out by Alex. It was quick. He got some camored by, yes, it was fine. And then his last fight, he took relatively no damage at all and won a nice unanimous decision, whereas Matt Brown got knocked out in his last fight against Miguel Baeza, I think his name is. I think it's a win-win for Carlos Condit. And actually, this is a great point that I would like to bring up to you guys real fast. This is actually Carlos Condit's last fight on his contract. So this fight is technically his last on contract for the UFC. So he could be a free agent next.
That's interesting.
That puts a lot of pressure on someone. But anyway, like I said, great fight. We all very excited for this one. But the time has come for us to break down the main event, the first main event of the new year, and what a main event it is, and Max Holloway returning against Calvin Kattar. Keys, you got to go first.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Let's go. Okay. I just want to say that I'm very happy this fight is going to be, like, in the afternoon on Saturday. It's going to be, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Boston. And it's going to be on ABC also. So people that don't have ESPN Plus are going to be able to watch it. So there'll probably be a lot more eyes on that fight than there normally would. So I'm very happy about that. Massachusetts own Calvin Kattar, of course. I said earlier in the show, first time I heard about this guy was in a barbershop, like, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I didn't know who he was at the time, but I found out when I went to UFC Live in Boston in 2018, and he was on my radar since then. Obviously, he's had a handful of wins since then. He lost to Zabit, but, I mean, most of the other guys he's fought, he's looked good against. He's only ever been finished one time in his career in over 26 fights, and that was in 2008 was the last time he'd been finished. In the UFC, I mean, he's only ever lost – he's lost by decision. He lost two decisions in the UFC. And he's been fighting high-level guys, like pretty much his last four fights, I mean, have been pretty notable guys. I mean, he fought Ricardo Lamas, Jeremy Stephens, Dan Ige, who's, like, you know, one of my favorite guys to watch in that division. And he lost his Zabit. So, I mean, he's been fighting high-level guys. I think, you know, this is going to be the most high-volume striker that he's fought. I think the most, you know, similar fights to this for him is, you know, his Jeremy Stephens fight, you know, because Jeremy Stephens is a guy who's going to come forward, you know, like a zombie. He's just going to take, you know, he has pretty strong chin. Ironically, he knocked him out, but Jeremy Stephens typically pretty strong chin. He comes forward. That's just, similar to Max Holloway. I could say that about Ricardo Lamas, you know, a more vintage Ricardo Lamas, you know, from, you know, a couple of years ago, who used to swing wildly in the cage. You know, you look at Ricardo Lamas' fight with Holloway, you know, the way that they were going back and forth. You know, I think those two fights are probably the most similar experience to what Kattar is going to see in the Holloway fight. But, I mean, he is fighting a former champion. He's never fought, you know, a former UFC champion. And Max Holloway is one of the best guys. So it's going to be – this is a tough fight. You know, I don't think either one of these guys is going to finish each other. You know, I think this is going to be – probably a close decision. I don't think either one of these guys is going to dominate here. I think it's going to be a very back and forth fight here. And I'm glad it's 5 rounds. You know, I think this Kattar, you know, I think Kattar is going to have, I mean, Max Holloway only lost to the champ. So there's nothing to be, you know, really said about that. 0-2 in his last two, but he lost to the champ. I mean, Kattar's 2-0 in his last two, but he's not, you know, he fought good guys, but he's not, you know, he's not at the top of the heap. So, you know, either way, I think Kattar is definitely going to be, he comes on a bit later in the fight. I think the first round he's going to fail him out. The second round, you know, you'll start to see him bouncing around more. The footwork's going to get better. You're going to see him a bit more alive, a bit more flashy with his, you know, with his moves. And I think I'm going to take Kattar by split decision. I think it's going to be a close decision. Calvin Kattar going to win it by split decision. He's just going to have slightly more crisp boxing. And I think he's taken – I think the way his last two fights have gone and versus the way Holloway's last two fights have gone is going to play a big factor here, where Holloway, I feel like, took a lot of damage in his two in his two 5-round fights with Volkanovski. You know, it's similar to Whitaker and Romero, the way Whitaker looked, you know, after his 10 rounds with Romero, I feel like he took so much damage. he's still a great fighter, but it definitely took a toll on him. And I think we might see something similar to that with Holloway. Cater didn't take as much damage as his last two fights, so I think he'll have a slightly more crisp boxing and flat out his split decision. That's my pick.
Interesting. Homer pick from Keys. Probably, I mean, he had some objectivity in there, but I knew he would go with the Homer pick, although he is a big Max Holloway fan. But I'm going to look at it from another point. I think this is the first time Max Holloway has fought in a long time where he doesn't have a reach advantage. When you don't have a reach advantage, you have to take chances to close the distance. And when you take chances, that normally leaves you open to get hit. I think Cater has a great chance in this fight to – he has to fight at distance. Keep Max at distance. As long as Cater fights at distance, Max counterpunching would be non-existent in this fight. If Cater doesn't fight at distance, he's going to play right into Max Holloway's game plan of being able to stick and move, use his head movement, bounce around, and avoid shots. This is definitely a step up in competition for Cater, fighting a former champion. I like Max Holloway in this fight by split decision. I think Cater is going to show that he's game. My one caveat, if Max Holloway loses this fight, this will be his last fight at featherweight. He would definitely have to move up. I don't see him cutting weight anymore because I don't see him being in the title picture no time soon. So if he loses this fight against Cater, he moves up for his next fight.
I agree. I've said this on many Twitter posts that Max needs to go to 55. And I know a lot of people might not be, you know, excited for that, you know, that decision because of the fight with Dustin Poirier where he lost. But he still put on a great fight and almost won. And he almost actually finished Dustin. Dustin even said it, that in the third round, he almost went down. But, no, I agree. I mean, I don't want to see Max lose, but then again, to just get it out of the way, I am going Calvin Cater. My breakdown for this fight real quickly is the fact that both of them are slow starters. So, you know, both are very test the water kind of guys early on, kind of get the range, you know, see where it's at. But the biggest factor is Max Holloway just does not have this, the Conor power. No one has Conor power. It's a terrible comparison, but he just doesn't have much power in his hands. He's a volume striker. He's a Diaz striker. They sting you and let you, and you wilt. And then they, you know, when you start to wilt, that's when he puts the pressure on. But Cater proved in the Dan Ige fight, he can go those five rounds. You know, he can push that pace and keep it going. And when you mix that with crisp boxing, as he has said, and that just incredible power that he possesses, I think it bodes well for Cater in this fight. And personally, I think Max Holloway is still stuck on the Volkanovski loss because the promo for this fight is literally about how 80-90% of people thought I won this fight, but now I'm here to, you know, get my chance to come back. It's like, bro, let it go. You lost. You lost the fight. The judges gave it to the other guy. You lost. Just drop it and focus on this killer that you have in front of you and you know, stop worrying about the guy that beat you twice. Like, it's just – so that's a big concern for me. You know, is he focusing on Cater? Of course he is. But there's something in the back of his mind that is pushing him to continue to think about Volkanovski, and I understand you have to do that, but don't do that against Calvin Cater, or you're going out, and it's been proven that Calvin will put you out. Like I said, going Calvin Cater, I think we do see a decision as well. I don't think anyone's getting knocked out or finished in this fight. I honestly think we see, you know, the first candidate for fight of the year, you know, bright and early in the beautiful month of January. So can't wait for that one. But yeah, that kind of brings us to the end of that card. One thing I did actually want to bring up to you guys real quickly is next week, the Wednesday, January 20th, is the Michael Chiesa and Neil Magny fight. And Wednesday is obviously when we do our show, but I wanted to point out that that card starts at 12 o'clock on Wednesday. So 12 in the afternoon, the prelim card starts at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, January 20th. So
is that 9 a.m. Eastern time?
Yes.
So that's 7 o'clock my time.
Yes. So I was wondering if you guys would like to just make our picks for that main event here tonight instead of doing, you know, switching around the schedule for like a Tuesday or a Thursday card, Tuesday-Thursday show. Because not for nothing, this main card is nothing really to, you know, spice about, but the main event is something to talk about, you know, the rankings and everything. So if you guys would like to, if not, you know, we can close out this show and just see what happens.
I mean, my opinion on it is, I mean, A, I really got to run. But two is that I like ending the show on that Holloway Cater fight. I think that was a perfect closer for the show, so I wouldn't want to continue it.
Can we get together Tuesday? Y'all open to do a show Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, you know, we'll break it down in the group chat. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll figure out what happens. And then also, by the way, another variable about the Max Holloway Calvin Kattar fight that I hadn't thought about when I was making my pick was I've never seen Calvin Kattar in a 5-round fight, and I forgot this is a 5-round main event, and we have obviously seen Max Holloway in multiple 5-round fights. His last two were 5-round fights, but at the same time, you know, those two wars, maybe it wears on him, and then or maybe that evens out with the fact that Kattar's, you know, cardio. We don't know how his cardio holds up, you know, going into the fourth and fifth round. So maybe maybe if Kattar slows down in the fourth and fifth round, if it, you know, whatever happens, if he slows down in 4 and 5, maybe that evens out with Max's, you know, wear and tear from the 10 rounds with Volkanovski. So that's like, you know, two factors I never thought about. Just wanted to put that out there.
Well, no, of course. I don't want to, you know, spoil the moment you just had there. But he has gone 5 rounds. His last fight against Dan Ige was a main event, and he did go 5 rounds. It's the second time, only the second time he's ever gone 5 rounds. But that's something that you could watch just to kind of get a feel for his you know, his cardio and his pace against, you know, a durable fighter. But then again, it's not Max Holloway, so it's more so just to see that his pace, that he proven that he can go 5 rounds. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to check that out. That's so crazy. I could have sworn I watched that fight, I thought it was a 3-round fight. I thought it was a 3-round main event, but I didn't even – wow.
Honestly,
maybe I didn't watch it, and I thought I did.
I passed out on that fight. That was a late card. I couldn't make it. But
yeah, maybe that. Know. Maybe I just maybe. I got memory loss. Maybe you're probably right. It probably was 5 rounds.
Trust it happens. It happens. Like you guys said, we're gonna end it on the Calvin Kattar Max Holloway card. Fight is a great fight. I can't wait for it. Like he's mentioned before, it's gonna be on ESPN Plus, but also ABC Network. So that will bring in a lot more fans and help out, you know, just everyone in general for viewership and everything. You know, quick closing words for myself. I just want to thank you guys for everyone, you know, listening and, you know, and coming to enjoy our show. We appreciate it dearly. I once again want to appreciate you guys both for, you know, allowing me to be on the show, you know, become a part of this, you know, this group. I'm forever grateful, and, you know, I'm hoping I continue to get better at hosting the show. with all that being said, you know, thank you. Can't wait for the fights. And Keys, any closing words?
Not really. You know, I just everybody stay happy, stay in good spirits. You know, enjoy the fights this week. maybe, you know, go watch all these free fights that they're dropping on YouTube right now. This is like a golden era of free fights that's dropping on YouTube right now. This is, you know, this is better than money right now. This is currency right now that the UFC is just giving out for free. So, yeah, go check that out and just enjoy life and be happy. That's all I got. And thank you for anyone who listens to our show. New platform coming soon. We'll see y'all on YouTube.
Yeah, looking forward to the fights this weekend. When I first looked at the card, I thought it was kind of weak. But, you know, there are some good fights up there. Last year, you know, I closed the show with Live, Love, Laugh. This year, I'm going to go with one of Key's personal favorites. You know, 2020 was, a lot of people looked at it as a negative year. So I'm going to start 2021 off with, I'm going to end every show with positive people with positive energy yield positive results. So keep your positive energy steered to something that you like to do, and you'll get a positive result. That being said, everybody have a good night. Take care of each other, wear your mask, practice social distancing. And as always, ending the show with a peace.